Welcome to the latest episode of the Gospel Podcasts. These recordings are published weekly by the Christians that assemble at the Hospital Hill Gospel Hall in Dunfermline, Scotland. Be assured you are in our prayers, and we know that God will bless you for listening. Further information is provided at the end of this short podcast. I now pass you over to the latest message recently recorded at the Gospel Hall. Thank you.
Now we're going to read maybe three short passages of scripture, first of all in Luke chapter 1. Now we're not going to read all the incident when Gabriel came to Mary to announce that she was going to be the vessel through whom the Lord Jesus was going to come, but we will read Mary's reaction to that news, verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Now it's really the question that we want to think about, how shall this B. Now over to John's Gospel, please, and chapter 3. Now this is the incident where Nicodemus comes to speak to the Lord Jesus, which we'll take the time to read. Verse 1, There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do the miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Now, we won't read the rest of that particular conversation. Now, finally, Hebrews chapter 2. And we'll read from verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received the just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Now we know that the Lord will add his blessing to these scriptures that we've read together. It's really this question that I want to focus on just for a few minutes this afternoon. How? The questions of the Bible are very interesting, and there are lots of interesting questions and deep questions and challenging questions, but we've read the same question really in a slightly different form and with a different motivation on each time. So when we come to Luke chapter 1, this must have been an incredible experience for Mary. There she is living in the obscure town of Nazareth. She's espoused to Joseph. Stronger matter than engagement, but they are engaged to be married. They haven't come together. She's a virgin. And the Gabriel, the angel, comes and announces to her that she is going to be found with child, and this child is none other than the Son of God, the promised Messiah, the one that Isaiah spoke about. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Unto us, says the prophet as well in Isaiah, going on in Isaiah, a child is born, unto us a son is given. This is the person that is being referred to in our verses. The Son of God, who was going to be the Saviour of the world. The one who was going to come not only to live amongst us, but as we've referred to in our opening prayer, the one who was going to die at Calvary, the one we've sung about. He was going to Calvary. And the question is, how was he going to come in? How is he going to enter into humanity? And the one who became a man and yet never ceased to be God. The one who went to the cross and died and rose again. It's this person that Gabriel has announced to Mary. Now, Mary naturally has a question to ask. It's not a question of unbelief. Had we read earlier in Luke chapter 1, we would read a question that Zechariah the priest asked. His question was really an evidence of the unbelief of his heart. But there was no unbelief, I take it, in Mary's heart. There was simply a desire to know how. How shall this be, seeing that I know not a man? And the answer to that question is very interesting. And it has a bearing on the second question that we have read of in John chapter 3. Because we might like to have a kind of mechanistic answer to that question. We might like to know the process. We in our Western society today, we are very kind of science orientated. We want to know the ABC. How is it going to happen? What is the process? That's not the kind of explanation that Mary got. She got what we might call a personal agency explanation. She was told that, Mary, you don't do a thing here. It is God who is going to work. And so she is told that the Holy Ghost would come upon her. And the power of the highest shall overshadow her. And we are not given details, and she wasn't given details about the detail of what was going to be her experience. But that's what she was told. And she was told that that holy thing that shall be born of her was the Son of God. And the question is simply this. How will Mary respond to that revelation? Well, the beauty of it is this. She says, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. And she submits in faith. And had we read on in Luke chapter 1, we would read of the occasion when Mary went up to her kinswoman Elizabeth. And Elizabeth says this about Mary, blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. So Mary was given this astonishing revelation, this astonishing news about how God was going to use her. And the question that is ultimately at the heart of this is, well, how did Mary respond? And Elizabeth said, blessed is she that believed. She believed. And she accepted what God said. She accepted how God was going to use her in a remarkable way to be the vessel through whom the Messiah was going to come. Mary will speak about the fact that she needed salvation. We didn't read the verse, but she speaks in verse number 47 about the fact that she rejoiced in God her Saviour. Mary needed a Saviour like the rest of us do. And she was a woman of faith. Even as a young woman, as she would have been here in Luke chapter 1. And Elizabeth says, blessed is she that believed. Now, I wonder this afternoon, are we prepared to believe God? You say, well, we're not going to hear a message just like Luke chapter 1. That's true. That was a unique experience, a unique event, never to be repeated. But Mary heard news that was astonishing, and that she couldn't understand completely how it was going to be brought about. But God gave her, through the angel Gabriel, an explanation, which was simply this: God will bring it about. It will be a work of God, a work of the Holy Spirit. And Mary's response is this: she believed. Now we come to John chapter 3. And there's a man, and he asks a very similar question. The Lord Jesus gave to him an astonishing statement. Nicodemus comes in, and we can't have look at all the details in the 15 minutes that we've got. But Nicodemus was a religious man. He was a man who knew the Bible as it then was, the Old Testament scriptures. He was committed to the law of God. And yet, in spite of that, when the Lord Jesus was in Jerusalem, he came to the wrong conclusions about Christ. You say, well, what was the conclusion he came? Well, he said, we've come to this conclusion that you're a teacher come from God. That was the height that Nicodemus got to. And that is the height of man's wisdom. If you go out into the streets of Dunfermline, at best, you will probably find people saying, well, he was a good man. He was a good example. Maybe he was a good teacher. He was a moralist. He set out an exceptional moral code. That's miles too low, dear friends, this afternoon. That is nowhere near the truth of the person of Christ. Peter caught it when he spoke in response to the Lord's question, whom say ye that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Lord Jesus doesn't really address directly what Nicodemus says, but he really does in another way. He says this: except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You might say, what is the connection with what has gone before? You see, what Nicodemus didn't understand, that in the person of the Son of God, the kingdom of God was there. And the works of power and the signs that Nicodemus spoke about in the opening two verses of this chapter were demonstrations of God's government through his Son. And Nicodemus had missed the point. He hadn't grasped the truth of what was necessary. And Nicodemus has to learn that he needed another birth. And Nicodemus might have said, well, I'm of the stock of Abraham. I'm a very religious man. I try to keep the law. But you see, the best of men just fall short. We've all fallen short. And the truth that the Lord Jesus expressed to Nicodemus is as equally valid to us. We too need to be born again, born from above. And Nicodemus asks the question, how can a man be born when he is old? Now, that was a good question to ask. He then follows it up with something that was just foolishness, that really demonstrated to some degree his incredulity about the whole matter. Can a man enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? You see, Nicodemus, that's a ridiculous thing to say. But interestingly, the Lord Jesus doesn't say that to him. What the Lord Jesus really does is he shows him, look, Nicodemus, even if you could enter the second time into your mother's womb and be born a second time, it would make no difference. You see, the Lord Jesus says to Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. That simply means this: when we were born the first time, it followed the principle that was introduced in the first chapter of the Bible, after his kind. We were born of parents who ultimately were descended from Adam, and we are fallen man. And that's how we were born. And it doesn't matter if we could have been born 3, 4, 5, 6 times. It would be the same thing, the same outcome. What was necessary is there needed to be in Nicodemus a work of God. Now, Mary had learned that that is how the fulfillment of God's word was going to be worked out in her experience. The birth of Christ was the direct intervention of the Spirit of God. There is no natural explanation for the virgin birth. And there is no natural explanation for new birth either. It is the work of the Spirit. And the Lord Jesus says to Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Not now simply seeing it, but entering it. And ultimately what this means is, if we want to be in God's family, if we want to be children of God, if we want one day to enter into the Father's house, then we need to come this way. We need to be born into God's family. We need new life. Now, on our part, what that means, as the Lord Jesus speaks later on, is that we need to believe in him. But you know, it's not in the strength of our belief. There is a work of God is required. A work of the Spirit of God. And he speaks of being born of water and of the Spirit. Paul takes this up in Titus chapter 3, and he speaks about the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. You see, you and I need the Word of God to cleanse us. We also need the blood to cleanse us. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And we need the Spirit of God to work. Now, we can't dictate that. That is the point of the Lord's teaching here. The Spirit of God is sovereign. You see, this is a really serious matter. This is a sobering thing. It was a very real thing for Mary. What was going to take place in her had no natural explanation. She couldn't effect it. It was God who was working in her. And what the Lord Jesus is teaching Nicodemus in a different context is if he wanted to enter into the kingdom of God, God would be working in him. I wonder this afternoon, would you want God to work in you? You know, in Luke chapter 1, Mary says a very interesting thing. She says, "For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name." Your God doesn't intervene in us if we're resisting. If we harden our hearts against God, God will, if you like, respect that. I wonder whether you would be willing for God to work in you. And I wonder whether you're prepared to do what Mary does and just believe in the Son of God. So religion and status and all that kind of thing that is really summed up in Nicodemus was not going to get him into the kingdom of God. He needed to be born of water and of the Spirit. Now, we could say a lot with that. We've only scratched the surface, really, which is unfortunate. But I want to conclude with the question of Hebrews chapter 2. You see, it is a question that these questions had positive answers. When Mary asked the question, how shall these things be? There was an answer to that. The answer was God was going to work. When Nicodemus asked the question, how can a man be born when he is old? The Lord Jesus answered that question. And he told him it was going to be through the word of God, which we have to believe, and through the Spirit of God who imparts divine life. That's how it was going to be. But when we come to the epistle to the Hebrews, And we listen to this question, how shall we escape? In a sense, there is no answer to that. That is it. We shall not escape if we neglect so great salvation. And so this is a sobering matter. This is a serious issue. Because we're not playing with just the things of men. We're dealing with divine things. We're dealing with eternal destiny. We're dealing with where we will spend eternity, heaven or hell. That's as stark as it gets. And the writer says, how shall we escape? The answer is you won't. If you neglect so great salvation. It's not even if you positively reject it. It's just neglecting it. The Word of God urges us to take this seriously. The Word of God urges us to realize that now is the accepted time. Behold, now is God's day of salvation. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. This is the opportunity. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Why does he call it so great salvation? Well, you'll notice the verses that follow explain why. Because each person of the Godhead is involved in its communication and its corroboration. This was a message of such importance, of such moment, of such gravity, that it was the Lord who first preached it. It was announced by the Son of God. And there was accompanying it signs and wonders and miracles performed in the power of God. And there were also gifts of the Holy Spirit. The whole Godhead was involved in this. You see, that's why it's so great. This is not a man-made message. This is the message of heaven. This comes from God. And the question is, if we neglect it, don't expect to escape the consequences of your sins. How shall we escape? And the purpose of this question is to engender in our hearts a sense of urgency and a sense of the gravity and seriousness of this message. The Godhead are behind this. This is no mere opinion by the writer. The Lord first preached it. It was attended by miracles that demonstrated or corroborated, if you will, the authenticity of this message. And there was the activity of the Holy Spirit. The Godhead, if you like, is behind this. What does that mean for us this afternoon as we bring this meeting to a close? There is no other message. God, the Godhead, this is the message that's coming from God. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. All based upon the death and the resurrection of Christ. That he died for our sins, that he rose again. That he was delivered for our offences. He was raised again for our justification. But it all comes down to this. Are we like Mary going to believe? And like Nicodemus, we didn't read it in John chapter 3, but when we come to the end of the gospel, it's absolutely clear that Nicodemus came to faith in Christ too. And he's found there associated with the Lord Jesus in his rejection, in his crucifixion. And along with Joseph of Arimathea, he's takes part in the burial of the Lord Jesus. Two individuals that heard really quite astonishing messages from God, when you think about it. But they believed. They believed. Now, how about us? How about you? You've heard the gospel more than this afternoon. You've heard it preached far better than I'm doing it this afternoon. The question is, are you amongst those who are, how shall we put it? Dicing with disaster. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You know, this salvation has been procured for us at unimaginable cost to God. The Son of God was sent by the Father. The Son of God came into this world. He was indeed the babe of Bethlehem. But that didn't procure salvation. And he lived that perfect life, which indeed is an example. But that didn't procure salvation either. And he went to the cross, and he died, and he suffered. He shed his blood that sinners might be saved. That's the cost of salvation. He gave himself, says Paul to the Galatians, for our sins. But what we really need to be able to do is to say what Paul said in the next chapter. The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, it is true that in the death and the resurrection of Christ, there is provision for all. It is a sacrifice of infinite value. We can't put a limit to it. But we need to make it our own, so to speak. We need to come into the individual benefit of it. And that's why God calls upon us to repent, to recognize that we're sinners, the sinners for whom Christ died, and to simply put our trust in him. You know, Mary heard that message that Mary heard turned her life upside down completely. Her life was never going to be the same again. But she submitted to the word of God and she believed God. She was a woman of faith. And if you were to trust Christ, it would turn your life upside down, so to speak. You would be a new creature in Christ. You would have a new relationship with God. You would be one of his children. You would know the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Your sins are forgiven. You're right with God. You have the prospect of heaven. Dramatic change. But oh, the awfulness of neglect. You know, the first verse of Hebrews chapter 2 explains that when angels spoke, those words were carried through. Those words brought judgment. And the point is, well, if the word of an angel carries judgment, how much more the word of God, the Godhead, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? How shall we escape? And so we leave this message with you. It's a sobering message. It's good to ask questions, how? But we need to be prepared to believe God. And he might give us an explanation, which is not the kind of explanation we're looking for, but it's an explanation nonetheless. Nicodemus, how can a man be born? Well, the word of God, do you believe it? And the work of the Spirit of God, who is able to give us life. May it be that we would have the same response of both Mary and Nicodemus and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we pray?
Thank you once again for taking the time to listen to this, the latest episode in the Gospel Podcast series. We trust that God will bless you for listening. And if you've not already done so, that you would take this opportunity to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the eternal salvation of your precious soul. If you would like further information, or indeed a free personal copy of God's Word, the Bible, you're welcome to contact us. Full contact details can be found on our website, www.hospitalhillgospelhall.org. May God bless you, and goodbye for now.